Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on a very cold Monday here in Star Vegas. Monday evening, it's about 30 degrees right now. Guaranteed to get a little colder. For those of you that had to deal with storms yesterday, our thoughts and prayers go out to you. It's true, if I can clear my throat here. But nevertheless, some cold weather coming. I like the cold, to be honest with you. I don't like the ice. I don't like, you know, I like a dry, cold day. I don't like a wet, cold day because that leads to accidents and loss of life and damage to property and things like that. But I like the cold. I like wearing my leather jacket. I like wearing jeans. You know, not all of us look good in shorts, you know. But the reality of it is it's wintertime. It's true. I want to thank all of you that have gone out and bought the book, The Dude. It is doing extremely well. And recently, this past Sunday, number 4 book in Mississippi. And I appreciate your support so incredibly much. Want to share those thoughts with you. And number 4 behind Wright Thompson's The Barn at 1, Framed by John Grisham at 2, and Camino Ghost at 3, and then there's The Dude right there at number 4. And my friend, Jake Kaiser, who is a she, makes the list for the first time ever. And ladies, if you were looking for a book that is not sports-related, let me encourage you to read Daffodil Hill from Jake Kaiser. She and I had a book signing together some time ago. Was very impressed by her. I like to read my contemporaries' books when I have time. And I read her book just in a couple days. And Jake was a press relations agent, I guess you'd say. Like she was, you know, she was involved with like some reality TV stars when she was in Tampa. Decided there was more to life than that. And she moved to rural Lafayette County, Mississippi, and started a farm. And then she wrote a book about it. And along the way, discovered a lot of things about herself, kind of reconciling her past. And so if I could stump for her a little bit, it's a good book, but not a couple years. And so I just share that with you. I know many of you are readers, and some of you read even, you know, things beyond sports. That's a good book to read. And she's fabulous. Think a lot of her. She and I are going to be doing some events together this year. We're still working the details out, but it's going to kind of be like a he said, she said thing, like a date night deal. We'll do like a dinner thing, and you'll have to RSVP, and you'll be able to come and hear her talk and me talk and buy books and ask questions and that kind of stuff. And so it's just something different we're trying to do, trying to help her. I'm the kind of person that believes in a rising tide raises all ships. It's true. I also want to share, too, for those of you that haven't heard, if you've been on Gene's page or my socials, maybe you've seen it, my youngest daughter, and she would be embarrassed that I would share this with you, but I'm very proud of her, so I'm going to share this with you. You know, she graduated from Mississippi State summa cum laude. She won 12 national championships as a speech and debate student. Mississippi State had never won a single national championship in its history in speech and debate, and she came along and won 12. So she's one of the more accomplished speech and debate students in the history of the United States. And earlier today, we received word that she has been admitted to Harvard Law. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. Now, we are not the kind of people that just want to go take the trip and get the t-shirt, right? That's not, we're not doing it for the gram. Not going to go just take a visit up there to say, oh man, Harvard Law, and then, you know, go to, you know, School of Phoenix. That's not who we are. And of my children, she may be the one that's most like me. Her or Ani one are the most like me. But you know, she only applied about a dozen of the top 20 law schools in the country and got accepted by all of them. And I think there was some validation that goes along with the Harvard Law admission. And they didn't just email where they called her and then sent an email and all the good stuff. And so she hasn't made a decision yet. A lot of people are thinking, oh, it's going to be so cold up there. We don't care. Yeah, if it was Dad's decision, she would go to Harvard, 100%. And I have shared that with her, but it is ultimately her decision. And I think the finalists, I think, are Harvard, Georgetown, Michigan, Georgia, and Virginia. I think that's what we've narrowed it down to. And all of those, of course, are you know, top 10 law schools or thereabouts. And so super cool. And, you know, Mississippi has never had a Mississippi State governor. Just kind of throwing that out there. And Mississippi's never had a female governor. So maybe we can make history, I don't know, here in about 20, 30 years, you know, with that. I don't know if I'll be allowed to see it. But nevertheless, incredibly proud. But also, too, I know many of you are just kind of proud of Mississippi State in general. When she got ready to pick a school, and of all my kids, it was probably the easiest for her. And she could have gone anywhere. And she goes, I'm just going to go to Mississippi State. I'm just going to go to Mississippi State because I want to be a Bulldog. And anything that I do in life, I want Mississippi State to get some measure of recognition. So, yeah, I've raised some pretty good kids. And I've joked, you know, over the years that maybe perhaps we did the world a disservice by not having more children. My wife may disagree. She has one that has to carry them. But all that I understood, we are exceptionally proud, and I just want people to know when, you know, it's a lot of fun being Steve Robertson most days, but it's so cool to me when I'm out and about somewhere in Starkville and somebody comes up and says, hey, aren't you Mia's dad? Or aren't you Ian's dad? Aren't you Audrey's dad? I kind of like being their dad, you know? And I was interviewed on the Mississippi Public Broadcast one time, I don't know, maybe twice. But anyway, the interviewer, very prepared. I was very impressed. And one of the last questions that she asked me is, you know, what do you think your legacy is? And I said, it's my children. Because they will experience and accomplish things that I can only dream of. And that's really the hope of every parent, right? You want to take things farther than your parents took them. And then you hope that your children can continue that trajectory of your family tree. And I feel very, very confident that my four amazing children will set some incredible heights for our family. And it's so funny, when Audrey was so funny when she asked me, she said, hey, Daddy, am I the first engineer in the family? I'm like, sweetheart, you're two generations removed from poverty. You know, my dad slept three to a bed with my Uncle Paul and my Uncle Charlie. And got his associate's degree at Jones County Junior College and then came to Mississippi State and got his undergrad at State in Ag Economics and Animal Husbandry with a minor in Animal Husbandry. And he and my mom lived in marital housing in Mississippi State. And so, yes, sweetheart, you're the first engineer in the family. And so it's interesting, again, I think about, you know, the humble beginnings of my own family. My dad growing up on Augusta Road there in Ellisville, Mississippi, one of 13 kids, you know, of Otis Robertson. And you know, to live out there and, you know, learn a respect for the land. And my dad, of course, from a farming family, went to work for the farmers of the great state of Mississippi when he worked for Farmers Home Administration for 33 years. trying to make farmers' lives easier. And that's something that makes me exceptionally proud. And days like today are when I miss him the most. Days like today. And I can't pick up the phone and share the news with him and knowing how incredibly proud he would be of his granddaughter. And it's so funny, you know, I was telling Dana this morning, she's getting ready to go to the spa, and I was like, you know, this is the same little girl that used to sit in her room and sit around and draw, like, you know, her girls, as she called it. She would, you know, draw these girls wearing different outfits, and we thought, well, maybe she'll grow up and be a fashion designer, you know. And now she's going to be an attorney, and you never know where life is going to take you. And I know that you all are equally as proud of your children. And one of the things that I have impressed upon my children their entire lives is it's easier not to be great. It's true. And that's true for all of us. It's easier not to be great. And I used to tell them all the time when they were kids, when you get into the workforce, you're going to find out there's a lot of people out there that reach a comfortable standard of living and they stop pushing. They lose their ambition. They just want to be better than the last place guy so they don't get fired. It's not about earning more money. It's just about making sure the money never stops. And you're not built that way, you know. And I'm very pleased to say that they have embraced that. And as you guys are well aware, you know, we are a family that believes in achievement. We're also a family that loves Mississippi State. And the fact that my daughter had the vision of knowing that, hey, one day maybe I'll do something great and that on behalf of Mississippi State I can be a good representative for the maroon and white makes me awfully proud. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I know you do too. You probably already have a raving love affair with Bulldog Burger Company, and if you don't, you will. Just go put your feet under their table and let them take care of everything else. It's as simple as that. You work hard, right? You play hard. You don't need to make life harder than it has to be. Don't overthink your lunch and dinner decisions. Just go to Bulldog Burger Company. So many great things on the menu that'll take care of you and nourish you and give you some quality of life. You don't just eat for nourishment. You eat for enjoyment. And so the next time that you're looking for a great meal that you're going to be nourished by but also enjoy, look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. It'll make you and everybody around you better looking. In addition to that, find a great restaurant quality hamburger that fits your hankering that day. And maybe you don't feel like eating quite that heavy. You know what? Get that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I always get mine with ranch dressing. I'm from South Mississippi. That's a requirement. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Let's talk some Mississippi State. Guys, Mississippi State men's basketball fever is everywhere. And if you have not caught it yet, it's your own fault. You don't need to be vaccinated. You don't need to wear a mask. Just put on a maroon and white shirt, come down for Coliseum, and join the parade, man. If you're not excited about this team, you're just not paying attention. Now, it's a long SEC season, and the league is an absolute bear this year. But I feel that we are very much equipped to handle that. We've now won 7 games in a row. And if you had an opportunity to watch that game on Saturday, whether you were in person, or whether you watched it on television, or you went back and watched the stream later, you saw Mississippi State absolutely dismantle South Carolina in that first half. Second half, we whooped them pretty good too, but that first half was about as dominant a performance as you will ever see. Absolutely incredible. Dave Murray dug up some interesting notes, you know, biggest margin of victory against an SEC opponent, you know, forever and a day. But how excited were you when you looked up at about 10 minutes to go in that first half, and you're like, holy smokes, we are absolutely doing these guys. And got a lot of ripples around the SEC when it came to media coverage. Bulldogs now 13-1 and 1-0 in the SEC. South Carolina drops to 10-4, 0-1 in the SEC. And Neil Lamont Paris was a guy, too, that, you know, we interviewed him too. We were getting ready to hire Chris Jans. But it's interesting. You know, we don't really know. It's not a good barometer to non-conference schedule. You can't really tell. And it's still too early to make any real judgments about this team. But what I would say is enjoy the journey. Don't start thinking ahead and worrying about Kentucky. We got to play Vanderbilt first. Now, of course, what you and I say and think is not going to change the outcome of the ballgame. But let's just go game to game and just enjoy the fact that we have a great team. Are they elite? I don't know if I'm ready to say that yet, but we're a great team. Again, we're a team that I expect to be a Sweet 16 team. And again, we've got a lot of basketball to shake out. But, looking at some numbers here. You know, Josh Hubbard with 21, 5 of 10 from beyond the arc, 7 of 13 from the floor. Pulled down 3 rebounds, too. Dished out a couple of assists, and again, no turnovers. How important is that when your primary ball handler and your primary scorer doesn't turn the ball over? You're going to be able to run a lot of offensive sets and end with a good shot when you're not turning the ball over. Claudel Harris, another guy, an interesting piece for us. And you never know from one game to the next who's going to be, the Robin to Josh Hubbard's Batman. 17 points from Claudel in 23 minutes of action, a 7-10 clip from the floor, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and pulled down 9 big rebounds to lead Mississippi State. Outstanding effort there. Also handed out a couple of assists. Did turn it over twice, but stayed out of foul trouble, stayed on the floor, stayed in the groove. Cam Matthews with a big heave there. Man, Cam Matthews. And that's the thing, too. I think about how happy I am for us. I'm so incredibly happy for Cam Matthews. I mean, how many times do you think somebody has said, hey, Cam, why don't you go pro? Sam, why don't you go overseas? Sam, why don't you go in the portal? Or Cam, why don't you go in the portal? Have a chance to play somewhere else. Cam Matthews is a guy that couldn't throw it in the stands when he first got here. And now he's a guy you can run some offense through. Played 30 minutes. Stayed out of foul trouble. No personal fouls on Cameron Matthews. When's the last time we could say that? Handed out 5 assists. Did turn it over a few times. Couple blocks, 3 steals. 4 of 5 from the floor. Absolutely impressive, man. RJ Melendez, again, just a glue guy for us. 6 points for him. Pulled down 4 rebounds. And is so good as an on-the-ball defender. Knocked down a couple free throws for us, too. We didn't get to the line a whole lot in this game. But, good effort. 7 of 9 from the line and 8 of 25 from beyond the arc. And you begin to think about that. What if we shoot at our normal clip from three-point? It's a much bigger ball game and it's a much bigger lead. And it's not very often you get to empty the bench in an SEC game and get a victory, and we did. And how about Delquan Warren, too? And one of our young guys kind of getting in the mix a little bit, too. In an SEC game, he gets 9 minutes. And, happy to see that. It's so interesting to see what Chris Jans has done with this team. And I tell you, there were some times, some possessions early in this ball game where South Carolina did not know where to go with the basketball. Guys, they shoot 6 of 26 in the first half. 6 made baskets in the first half. Guys, when that happens, we're going to win more times than not. They were 2-19 from beyond the arc in this ball game. When we just give up 2 3-point baskets, there's a good chance we're going to win. And that's a thing that you know as well as I do. If you're going to beat Mississippi State, when it gets time for a half-court offense, you better hope you got 6 players on the floor because we're going to lock everybody else down. Absolutely incredible performance by the Bulldog defense. And just really kind of so much in a team win here. Just an incredible team win. 52 points in the paint, and we don't even have a true 5 we can run offense through. 15 points off turnovers, 11 second chance points, 17 on the break, and 32 points on the bench. South Carolina never had a lead in this ballgame. As dominant a performance as you'll see against a Southeastern Conference opponent, and this is not a team that's mailed it in, right? I mean, you get later in the year sometimes, and you get some teams just kind of playing out the string, and they're ready to get it over. This was the opener for South Carolina, too. And they came to Starkville, Mississippi, and they got absolutely crushed. So excited to see it. Now, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. tip in Nashville. If you live in the greater Nashville area, we ask and humbly invite you out to take on the Bulldogs. Now, a consensus top 15 team. I think I saw we were 13 in the net. A chance here, too. To pick up some more quad one wins and move even farther up the net. Vanderbilt, not a slouchy team either. I don't know how good they are just yet. You know what I'm saying? It's like you look at it, and again, there just hasn't been, you know, a big barometer, I guess you could say. And like some people were like, oh, they did pretty good against LSU. Guys, I don't know how good LSU is going to be. I mean, they were picked, you know, what, next to last or last in the conference. And so LSU had a lead in this ball game, and Vanderbilt kind of fought their way back into it. And win the game 80-72. And I don't know, you know, halfway through that game, if you were like thinking, you know what, hey, Vandy's going to come back and win this thing. LSU gets a lead early, and then, you know, Vanderbilt closes and takes a lead, and then, you know, puts up 46 in the second half to win the game. But it's just so interesting. You know, any win on the road in this league is significant. Anyone.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Any time that you can win on the road, it's a great deal. It really is. And I'm sitting here looking at this, going through my notes here that I made earlier. But, again, it's just... I respect the fact that you can go on the road and win. I guess it was a 29-19 game. Yeah. So, yeah. So, Vandy wins the game. And I just don't know if you can look at him and say, hey, that was an impressive win. But, I acknowledge the fact it's so difficult to win on the road in this league, especially, you know, an LSU team that, still trying to find a sense of itself, I guess, in some respects. But, to PMAC, not the easiest place to play if you're not Josh Hubbard. But Vanderbilt 13-1, and they're undefeated, a perfect 8-0 at home. And then 2-0 in true road games. And then the one loss, of course, comes in a neutral site game. Yeah, but again, looking at the non-conference schedule, not especially challenging. You know, they get a couple of gimmies early on. That they beat Cal in Nashville 85-69. It's a Power 5 opponent. They nip Nevada and the Charleston Classic, and they get Seton Hall. They lose to Drake 81-70 as part of that event. They go to Blacksburg, Virginia. They beat Virginia Tech 80-64. They get TCU in the Coast to Coast Challenge in Fort Worth 83-74. It's another Power 5 opponent, Power 4 opponent, whatever we're calling it these days. And then 80-72 winners at OSU. And so, keeping up with this, just real quickly here, just kind of looking, kind of giving you a little bit of a mini preview. We'll get back together on Wednesday. Hopefully we'll recap in another Mississippi State win. But, we're going to have to bring a good effort. And, looking at Jason Edwards, wears number 1 for them, leads them 18.3 points per game. Played in all 14 games, only started 7. And he is a guy that has a tendency to turn the basketball over just a little bit. I mean, he's basically 1-to-1 for assist to turnover ratio. But this is a guy that can shoot it. Almost 40% from beyond the arc. Our perimeter defense is going to have to be a big part of this thing. Second on the team in 3-point attempts. Tyler Nickel is the only Commodore that has shot it more from beyond the arc. And he's got 87 attempts, and he's shooting right at 38%. You know, so again, perimeter defense is going to have to be a big part of this thing. Devin McLaughlin wears number 99. You don't see that in basketball very often. 11.6 points a game, pulling down 8.4 rebounds. 117 rebounds total, which leads the team easily. Jalen Carney is second with 83. But this is a team, you know, that wants to get out there and get after you a little bit. I just don't know. It's like when you, I haven't watched Vanderbilt play this year, but it's one of those things when I think about our ability to play defense, not everybody does. We take such pride in that. And you could tell even in that ball game on Saturday, even though we had the big lead, when we would make a mistake defensively or somebody wouldn't sink or whatever, we'd call timeout, we'd pull them. It's like, hey, we're not going to do this. You know, we're going to play our brand of defense. We're going to make sure that we do our system and that we handle our responsibilities. And if you don't, no matter the margin of the game, you're coming out. That's great coaching. There has to be foundational standards to what you're doing. And it's clear that Chris Jantz is going to be uncompromising when it comes to defensive effort. And you got a pretty balanced Vanderbilt team here. You got four players in double figures. And so it's not like, hey, we're just going to go smother this guy and make somebody else beat us. They will spread the ball around. And again, rather interesting team with an interesting schedule. And so we're going to have to bring a good effort. If you live in the greater metro Nashville area, we encourage you to come out again and be a part of this. That little sliver of maroon is certainly well received. You know, as Chris Jans said, when you guys basically took over the FedEx Forum and went up there against Memphis and we had the maroon and white chant going late. I'm a firm believer is that sports are supposed to be fun and entertaining. And so I encourage you to be entertained and let's believe in this team. Let's not just sit around and just kind of, oh, something's going to happen. No, let's be positive. And I believe this team has earned that. They've earned the support. And so when I think about what this team can be, and we're going to find out here in a couple of weeks. I mean, Kentucky, I mean, goodness gracious, we've already sold out the game. So that's encouraging. But I don't want to have this typical Mississippi State mentality that some people possess. It's like, well, you know, now that we're in the SEC play. No, it is okay to believe in this team. And there's not many coaches that I would tell you that are more deserving of your loyalty and trust right now than Chris Jans. Taking us to the tournament back-to-back years, you know. So, and again, we're a tournament team again. So we're playing for positioning. We're not playing for the bubble. We're playing for positioning. And there's a lot of people out there that are forecasting this team to be exceptionally well-seeded when the tournament takes place. Of course, we've got to stay healthy. But huge game on Tuesday. And then this Saturday, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be absolutely rocking in Humphrey Coliseum as Kentucky comes to town. And this is a team that we have not always had a lot of success against. But let's go take care of the Commodores first and be 2-0 in the conference and have a top 15 matchup. I think Dave Murray looked it up, but it's only been two top 15 matchups in Humphrey Coliseum in history. How about that? It's on the men's side anyway. Real quickly, let's look at the ladies, and we'll change topics here. We kind of, as we expected, ladies made it a game for a little while against South Carolina, and then that big third quarter really just kind of changed everything. And I hate to feel that way, right? You hate to say we're going to go into this game and lose, you know, but that's a game, again, the South Carolina machine. And you don't have to like Dawn Staley. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for her, and I think the fact that so many of our fans hate her is really a modicum of respect. But I think you kind of see it, you know, you hate losing to her because she's so great. I like Dawn Staley. I do. I hate losing to her. I like beating her. But the reality of it is probably the best thing going right now, women's basketball, is Dawn Staley in South Carolina. But you look up there after one, and State is up nine. In the second quarter, they kind of figured some things out and outscore us by 17. It really wasn't much of a game the rest of the way. But, yeah, kind of is what it is. Bulldogs now fall to 13-3, 0-2 in the SEC. We did expect a tough start to the SEC schedule. But, hey, good game for Jerkayla Jordan. 24 points for her, a dozen for Anaya Russell. And after that, it was just kind of spread out. Destiny McFall with 14. And, you know, what a great addition she's been to this team. But it is what it is. So we're not going to sit here and belabor the point and kind of go over that because we expected to lose to South Carolina. And, again, I hate it, but that's the reality of where we sit right now. And we knew coming into the SEC schedule it was going to be difficult. Now, Thursday, and we'll talk about this game more on Wednesday, number 9, Oklahoma, headed to Humphrey Coliseum. So a great week of basketball as some ranked opponents head to Humphrey Coliseum, give you an opportunity to turn out and see some meaningful games. And I don't know what to expect from this Oklahoma team. Really don't. Yeah, but if we play well, we can win. And if we don't, you know, it's going to be a tough night. I don't think it'll be as tough as the South Carolina night was. But, again, you look at what Kentucky did. You know, we played two SEC games, giving up 91 and 95 points. We got to pick it up on both ends. Lose 91-69 and 95-68. We're not scoring enough. We're not defending enough. That's got to change. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R, if I can get it right. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, and you never thought you would need a mortgage guy. You do. Get a hold of Blair at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. And you know, maybe the dream of home ownership has eluded you in the past. And you know as well as I do, you're just throwing your money away renting. You are. You got somewhere to stay, but you're not building any equity. You never get done paying rent, but eventually you can pay off a house. It's also nice to have some equity and some resources you can depend on if something happens in your life. True story. So whether you're looking for your first house, your next house, or your retirement home, Blair can make that dream a reality more times than not. Thus the name closewithblair.com. He knows how to structure loans to give them the best chance of getting through underwriting. And you don't know how complicated a procedure that is until you get ready to buy a house. They need a lock of your kid's first haircut, you know, pint of blood. The underwriters will ask for all kind of stuff sometimes, and it feels like they're just being difficult. And as a guy that used to work in the mortgage industry, some of them do, right? If you're an underwriter, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you've got some people out there, they're going to play hardball. Well, you need somebody to play hardball for you. You get a bulldog working for you, that's Blair Chandler. Season ticket holder in multiple sports, has a place here in town. He rides the wave of emotion just like you do. Get his 24 years of experience and know-how working for you. That's closewithblair.com. All right, I saw an interesting reel here recently. We kind of got a backlog of some stuff, too. We got to get caught up on. But I keep running across stuff that I think is super cool. And here are the top 10 songs that are turning 25 in 2025. We're going rock songs, right? Top 10 rock songs turning 25 in 2025. You ready to feel old? Yeah, well, it didn't bother me. Age is just a number. But going back, I'm like, are these songs really 25 years old? I still listen to some of this stuff, right? It's true. Absolutely true. So let's get started. It was a pretty good year in rock. You know, it was one of those years, too, like the boy bands were big. You know, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and 98 Degrees, I guess, was kind of the RC of the boy band era. You know, we had, you know, Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears, a bit of a rivalry there, so many amazing things. It was a big, big time in pop music. It was kind of a weird time in rock music. You know, we kind of ushered out the 80s. We'd gotten through the grunge, the 15 minutes of grunge. And then there were some weird years. Like, and some of you, I want to apologize to you, those of you that were kind of young during some of this era, because there weren't a lot of headliners. And when you look at this list and you're kind of seeing some bands that had some staying power in the infancy of their careers, some of these bands are still around and some of these bands are not, at least not playing in the same level of venues. But I picked the bands that I thought best typified the era that have had some staying power. Okay? No one-hit wonders on this one. All right, number 10, it's Filter. You know him from Hey Man, Nice Shot. And that song's not about Kurt Cobain. I think I'm being funny. There were a lot of people that thought it was when it came out. And there were some rumors that it was, but it was not. But the song we're going with is Take a Picture. Now, this video won all kinds of awards, too. So maybe if you're sitting around and you like to listen to music on YouTube, maybe take a few minutes and watch that video. Won a lot of awards. Super and cool. You know, do you want to take my picture because I won't remember? You know, interesting. Number nine, this song was actually released like in the tail end of 1999. It just kind of hung around on the charts. It's Linkin Park's One Step Closer. Yeah, and I'm about to break because everything you say to me brings you one step closer to the edge. Love Linkin Park. You guys know that. So glad that they have put another version of the band together to keep that music alive. Number eight, a band that was as big as anybody in the world for a stretch there in the late 90s. And you know, a lot of people were kind of curious to see how they would follow up their incredible success. And they came out with Chocolate Starfish, you know, and the hot dog flavored water. A lot of people didn't like that either. But the first track off that album was Roller. There were two versions of it. There was the Air Raid Assault Vehicle, and then I think it's right, or the Air Raid version, then the Urban Assault Vehicle. But yeah, Roller, of course, a great track. I like both versions. Number seven, a band that's been around a long time. I remember being just a teenager and having that collector's edition Mother's Milk poster that I paid a ton of money for on my wall. My parents didn't like it, which made me like it even more. But that's the next book I'm actually reading, I think, is Anthony Kiedis' biography, Scar Tissue. And we're going to go with Other Side. And the thing about the Peppers, they're kind of genre bending, right? They just kind of do their own thing, have their own sound, and Flea is a guy that, and you know, that band has been so great for so many years. A legendary band, Other Side, Red Hot Chili Peppers, your number seven track. Number six, another song that kind of came out late and lingered around the charts. These guys have recently reunited. Some of you saw them at the Brandon Amphitheater just a while back with Creed. It's With Arms Wide Open. And I remember when this song first came out, you know, like Ani was so young, and I thought to myself, you know, this is kind of how I feel too, you know, that I hope he grows up better than I did and grows up to be a better person than I did and not make the same mistakes, you know, that greet this world with arms wide open. Life is beautiful. It truly is. All right, number five, I would be remiss if we didn't include these guys. I remember when this album came out, and some people told me, man, these guys are from Escatawpa, Mississippi. I'm like, where is Escatawpa, Mississippi? I had to look it up. Oh, it's down by the coast. Yeah, it's kind of like everybody, oh, it's on the coast, you know. It is, but it's not really a coastal county per se. You know what I'm saying? It's not Biloxi or Gulfport or Long Beach or Ocean Springs. It's just a coastal county that's a little more rural like the rest of us. Some of these guys went to Moss Point High School. And I went with Loser. I love the breakdown on that, too, when they get a little bit heavier. Saw them at the Brandon Amphitheater some time ago with Seether. It's a great, great show. Many of you were there. That's your number five track. Number four, I mentioned this one a while back, and somebody hit me up on Twitter, some lady. It said, I had forgotten what a great song this was. I used to love this. I jammed it with my friends all the time. Thanks for shining a light on these guys again. So here we are again with Lifehouse, Hanging by a Moment. Man, this is an absolute banger. And it's one of those songs, too. I remember when this came out, too. I mean, I was just so incredibly in love and still am. But, you know, you have those times in your life where it feels like that you and your significant other is like everything is perfect, right? And so when this song came out, it was like one of those high points in my relationship with my wife. And I remember thinking, you know, what a great rock song, what a great message, you know. And there are those times and those memories. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, when you're married as long as I am, or have been, every year is not a Chamber of Commerce quality year. You have some tough years. You have some years where, you know, you don't get to spend a lot of time together. Or, you know, you never know. Finances may not always be the best. You're going to have ups and downs in life. And it's one thing that my dad told me years ago is like, with those days when you don't have a lot going on, you don't have a lot of people pulling on you, which is pretty rare, you got to enjoy those days. Those are the days that make life worth living. And that's kind of what I think hanging by a moment is really about. Number three, kind of changing gears here. Another song about a relationship. I had a chance to see these guys play at Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. It's the band Fuel. A song with Brent Scallions, too. I know they've changed a few times, but it's the song Hemorrhage. Right? Love lies bleeding in my hands. This is one of those incredible, incredible, sad love songs. And you can tell there's some authenticity in this. The way that he sings it and the conviction in which he delivers the vocal. It's a very personal song. And a lot of people, whether you are in love or out of love or getting over a breakup, people identified with this song because at some point we've all had our hearts broken. It's true. And there are a lot of times too, you know, you don't even see it coming. You just get blindsided by something. And then there you are, kind of mourning the loss of a relationship. And as love lies bleeding in your hands, you know, it's true. It happens. I mean, how many times have you lived your life and you think everything is fine and you find out that everything about your life is a lie and everything that you believed about a person wasn't true, that you only saw the best in them. You didn't see them for what they really were or really are. We have all encountered that at some point. It's true. Number two, and this song here, I absolutely love this song, which is why it's number two for me. But when Metallica's S&M came out, a lot of people didn't really care for this one. They loved the renditions of the Metallica classics with the orchestra, which was absolutely phenomenal. But they, of course, they had, because there was a new album, even though there was some new arrangement, they had to have a new single. And there was No Leaf Clover. And I love that song. I know a lot of Metallica fans are like, I don't like that little bend they do with his voice, that auto-toning thing they do. You know, back in those days, it was kind of novel for that to happen. But this is one of those songs that I think is absolutely top shelf that maybe doesn't get enough respect. Yeah, it's Metallica's No Leaf Clover, but number one. And I really didn't pay a lot of attention to the lyrical content in this, even though I sang along to it for many, many, many years. Until this past year in 2024, where Ronnie Radke, who I have a tattoo of, did a reimagined version of Papa Roach's Last Resort. And that's when I realized this was a suicide note. And it wasn't autobiographical. There is a video out there of Jacoby Shaddix going to meet with his friend who the song was about, who is still alive and doing well. But at the time, he was in absolute misery. And Jacoby wrote the song about his friend. You know, cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. You know, and I don't know if you've looked at the lyrics or really listened to the lyrics, but when it slowed down and you listen to the Fall in Reverse version of this, it changes the tenor of the song, and you begin to realize how raw and emotional and authentic all of this is. There is some real angst and anger and depression in all of this. And there have been times in my life that I felt like, hey, this is my last resort. As you guys know, I am a suicide survivor, much to the chagrin of some. But maybe you're feeling that way too. And so I wanted to take this time again to remind you, if you are considering hurting yourself or others, dial 988 on your phone as a free call. And if calling is not an option for you, then you can text 988 and there are people there that will help you. And I can tell you this, there's so many people out there that love you, and maybe you can't process that love. Maybe you're not in a position where you can receive that love. I've been that person before too, where when people would tell me they love me, I didn't even hear it. It didn't even register with me because I thought they're just saying that. It's a social convention, right? They don't really love me. How could anybody ever love me? Because I didn't love myself. And if I want to find something to feel sorry about, if I want to feel sorry for myself, I don't have to look far. I just log on to Twitter, right? Or I can go out there and scan somebody's message board. There's always somebody out there that's got something negative to say. I just don't entertain that stuff. I don't, you know, and I've had some friends in the last couple of years, like, you know, somebody would say something mean about them on the internet that wasn't true. Or they would say something just to troll them to get a reaction. And I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter. That's not how our value as people is determined. let what strangers say on the internet change your own perception of yourself. You can't. And so when those people come at me, it's just wasted keystrokes and emotional energy because I don't even feel it. I don't even see it most of the time. But the reality of life is that not every day, you know, is going to be cherry pie. There are going to be a lot of days that are just kind of humdrum. There are going to be a lot of days when nothing exciting happens. There are going to be a lot of days that are just workaday. And there are going to be some phases in your life when all you're doing is working to pay bills and keep the mortgage up. It's true. Not every day is going to be a day you remember forever. There are a lot of days that just slip by. And when that happens and you get on this repetitive wheel, and it feels like, man, nothing good ever happens. You know, and there have been times in my life that I've reached out to people and said, man, I really need something good to happen. Because I've been down. You know, I get on this show sometimes and people say, oh, Steve, you're always a voice of reason. You're always so positive. Man, some of these days I've been on this show, man, I feel like my life is falling apart. And it wasn't. But that's the lie you tell yourself. You get so caught up in all that stuff. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in this, and I've shared this so many times. In every addict's life, and it's the same for depressives, it's the same for everybody in some respects, there is a crisis, real or imagined, that changes us. And so for me, I just try to save my emotional energy for the real things that happen and not all the crap that gets in my head and all that noise. You know, because I can talk myself into a bad time or a bad day whenever I want to. And I got some friends like that, you know. I got some relatively new friends that kind of have entered my life, and I always feel like that God brings those people to us when we need them or when they need us. And so I check in on them, like, hey, for make sure you're doing good today, because they matter to me. They do. And when I'm on the under end of that thing, when I'm not doing well, I hope somebody will do the same for me. Hey, Steve, just checking on you. Make sure you're doing okay. You know, and when you're in the middle of that, it's so incredibly important. It's like this reminder. It's like, you know what? Maybe somebody really does care. And they do care. People just get caught up sometimes. They don't know what to say. And you got to give people grace a little bit to be human. You know, something bad happens. I'm not one of those kinds of people, like immediately, if I find out something happened, immediately goes, you know, just like, hey, man, just checking in with you and, you know, what happened? It's not my business what happened. Typically what I tell people is like, hey, man, I'm here for you, thinking about you. You're not alone. It's one of the most important things that we can share with each other is that you're not alone. It's one of the reasons there's so many Yana clubs around the world, you know, that host AA and NA meetings and Al-Anon meetings. We call them Yana because that's the acronym for you are not alone. And there's so many people in this world that will die of terminal uniqueness. It's true, because we begin to think that nobody else has ever encountered this. Nobody else has ever come across this. Nobody has ever hurt like this. And the truth of the matter is, you're wrong. There are a lot of people that have hurt and survived it. But more importantly, there are some very healthy people that have overcome it. Survival is about luck. Overcoming is about work. And that's, I told my friend Jake, you know, when I first met her, you know, and she one day told me that I was a survivor. And I said, no. And a matter of fact, I find that somewhat offensive. And she looked at me like, oh, I never realized. I'm not a survivor. It wasn't like there was a plane crash and that my row of seats happened to survive the carnage. That is to suggest that I got lucky. I did my work. I worked my steps. I called my sponsor. I went to my meetings. And you know what? Maybe if you're not afflicted with chemical dependency, but you got something else, let me encourage you, go to therapy. Find a resource to help you navigate through it. Another thing that I kind of disagree with, I'm not going to preach for long. People are like, you know, it's okay to not be okay. No, it's not. It's not okay to not be okay, at least not long term. It's okay in the moment. You know, you lose a parent, you're going to lose your compass in life. You're going to be grief stricken. You're going to be heartbroken. You're not going to be the same person for a while, and you may never be. And in those moments, yes, it's okay not to be okay. But I refuse to live the rest of my life being defined by the trauma that's happened in my life. I'm not going to do that. I have people, and you hear it, it becomes such a self-fulfilling prophecy. Steve, I'll never be the same. And you're right, you could be better. You don't have to be a victim. So don't volunteer for the sadness. Don't volunteer for the depression. And it's just like, I got a friend of mine, it's like, I feel like I'm battling seasonal depression. You know, stop reading Cosmo. How about that? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, oh, the season's changing. It's my time to be depressed. Why would we do that? I don't get it. What do we gain from that? I don't understand how so many people are volunteering for what is mental illness. It's like it's just an excuse, right, to be antisocial. You know, life is too short for that. Death is too certain. And so I share that with you just because of the fact that there is hope and there is help available. You got to search for it, though, and you got to seek it. There's not going to be a search party being formed to come rescue you. You're going to have to walk yourself out of the woods. It's true. So get up and get moving. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. And you know what? Let's just be honest with each other. Even though we could never admit it to another human being, you were a little bit disappointed with Christmas. Right? It's true. When we lived time, we were together, and that's great. And I had the cherry pie, and I got off my diet. It was fun. But when you got back home and you unpacked and hung up all your stuff, you're like, you know, I didn't get that quarter zip I really wanted. I didn't get that hoodie I really wanted. You know what? Rather than sit around and whine about it, take care of it yourself. Go to Campus Bookmart and pick it up today. And that way you have the freedom of getting exactly what you want in the way you want it. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. True story. Love Campus Bookmart. All right, so let's talk portal update. Mississippi State picked up portal commitment number 20 today. And Cam Thompson, it's a guy that if you've been a subscriber to Gene's page, we have been talking about him kind of extensively, is a guy that we thought would join the class. I said when he scheduled a visit shortly thereafter, if you keep up with the bones, that he was the guy I was feeling good about. Didn't put the crystal ball pick in, probably should have. Waited a little round, too late to do it. So, you know, who is Cam Thompson, Steve? Well, our third player from Northern Illinois. True story. And he began his career at Eastern Illinois, played in four games and redshirted. In 2023, he's stepping up from the FCS to the FBS. Took him a little while to get acclimated, played final eight games of the year as a reserve, also as a return specialist. Had a couple of catches for 10 yards. Well, then this year, things kind of changed for him. You know, and in his interview that you can read for free, he said he really committed himself in the offseason, really took it seriously. He caught 28 balls for 391 yards and 3 touchdowns. His big game of the year came on the road at Ball State, 8 catches, 128 yards, and a score. Played against Notre Dame, had a catch for 12 yards. But, you know, he is one of these guys. He's a piece. You know, and I think, too, when you look at you know, Kevin Coleman. And people don't like it when you bring this stuff up. Because everybody's like, well, you know, Kevin Coleman was a star. Kevin Coleman was a highly recruited guy out of high school that didn't do a whole lot at Jackson State and didn't do a whole lot at Louisville. He came to Mississippi State, and Jeff Lebby and Chad Bumpus got a lot more out of him. He is an all-SEC receiver because of the work that he put in and the leadership he had here at Mississippi State. And so can Cam be Kevin Coleman? I don't think he's that brand of athlete, but he is a very good athlete, and he is a guy that I think can help us. Interesting, right? We talked about the return thing. 10 kickoff returns for 283 yards. That's if they tell you, hey, we're going to average almost 29 yards a return. He also had one for a touchdown against Western Michigan. 91 yards to the house. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's some dynamic stuff about him. But this is the ascending player. He's a redshirt sophomore, you know, so he'll have 2 years that he can play here at Mississippi State, should he and we both decide. But I think he's a good get. Is he a great get? No, I'm not going to sit here and oversell him. I don't want to put that kind of, that kind of pressure on him, I guess you could say. But also, I don't want to mislead you guys and say, hey, we got a guy that had a good year at Northern Illinois, you know, a program that, you know, played in a bowl game, and act like he's more than what he is, right? But this is a guy, again, we talk about the importance of finding the ascending player, and that's what I believe he is. I think, looking at his film, I think he is a guy that is kind of figuring some things out. And NIU went 8-5 this year, and of course they beat Notre Dame in South Bend, in case that you've forgotten that. You know, some people I think that have. But you're just kind of looking at where he was on the team. Everybody does their stats a little bit different. It's always so fun trying to navigate through all that stuff. So great. All right, so looking at receiving, he was the third leading receiver on the team when it came to number of catches, but 1 yard away from the team lead in actual receiving yards. Trayvon Rudolph had 37 grabs for 392 and a score. Cam had 28 and 391 and three scores. So we'll just call him one of the leading receivers on a team that didn't throw it a whole lot. They threw it some, but 216 pass attempts or 216 catches this year. Pretty balanced offense in that respect. But, he is a piece for us. Is he a difference maker for us? I don't think he's going to be that guy that's going to contend for all SEC honors next year. But I like the fact that he has 2 years to play, and I like the fact that he's coming off a career year at Northern Illinois. And that's a winning program. Now, the speed of the game is going to be much different here. It's true. But I think it's a good pick. So what's left, Steve? Well, we still got to get a corner. And I have people that bring this stuff to my message board, no matter how many times that I correct it. Guys, we're taking one more corner. That's what we're doing. We're taking one more corner. And that may not be in the winter. Ideally, we'd like to take our other corner and have him go through spring practice. But we may not. We might just simply go through the spring and see what Dwight Lewis and see what Jamin Williams can do. And then we'll assess and then go take a look in the spring portal. You know, what I worry about with the spring portal is the prices go up significantly. Right, because there's going to be a lot of schools are going to have room, and they're also going to have needs. So I would like to get this done now. And there's some guys out there that are in the winter window that we're chasing. You come over to Gene's page, and you can see who we're talking about. But people are like, hey, we got to go get two starting corners. Guys, that's not happening. It's not happening. And so you're doing it to yourself. I'm not telling you that. And I can promise you that I'm very much in tune with what's happening here. So unless, all of a sudden a difference maker becomes available or two, no, we're taking one more corner. And again, I got a couple people that they want to argue me down, telling me that we're taking two more corners, and I'm telling you that's not the plan. It's not. And so I think what we're really doing is laying the groundwork for the meltdown, right? So we want to go ahead and get ahead of that. There is that self-loathing segment of our fan base. Well, I think we need two corners. Hey, we're going to take one, but I think we need two. Well, we're going to take one more. I really think we need two. And then when we take one, we didn't do what we were supposed to do in the portal. Well, you did it to yourself. I've told you all along what was going to happen. Before Dwight Lewis committed, I said, hey, we're going to take two corners. We've already got Jamin Williams. We're going to take two more. And then we get Dwight Lewis. We still need two more. No. We don't have 1,000 spots to work with. And so I get a little frustrated with that. And you can challenge me all you want to on it, but the reality of it is that's the plan. Take one more corner. And again, we'd love to get that done in the next week, but it may not happen. And you take Cam Thompson, and again, I think you need two more receivers. I think one is the bare minimum, but I think you need to get two. And if you can get three, you take them. Now, if you get two now and you get through spring and say, we could use another guy, then you can address that then. But again, I think the prices go up in the spring. You know, again, you want these guys to go through spring practice and learn the nuances of your scheme, get to know your coaches, and more importantly, too, kind of begin to settle your rotation so when you hit fall camp, you've kind of got an idea of what you want to do already and not having to kind of go through this thing again, all this competition again. We're going to compete all the way to the Egg Bowl, but I don't think this is a scenario where you really want to bring a guy in spring. We saw with Davin Booth last year, right? I mean, the second half of the year, outstanding. Took him kind of half a year to figure it out. That's why I'm so excited. You know, again, unless he opts to go pro, he's got nowhere to go, right? Portal's closed for him. And so it's either come back to Mississippi State or go pro. We fully expect him to come back. Hadn't been a formal announcement yet, but we expect that. We'll be surprised if that doesn't happen. But, you know, when you think about these guys, you know, what would Davin Booth have looked like if he had the benefit of spring? You know, maybe it takes him a couple of games instead of five or six, you know, to kind of figure this thing out. Kind of got going against Florida a little bit, you know. But you understand my point. We want, ideally, we'd like to have as many, if not all, the guys here for spring practice. Now, there's been a development, of course. Aiden Williams, who was the number one receiver in the state of Mississippi here 2 years ago, has gone to Ole Miss and has hit the portal. And there were some murmurings that he may go in the portal late October, early November. And I wasn't sure that he would. You know what I'm saying? It's like you hear that. Because let me tell you guys don't know the half of it. Like, especially with these Mississippi kids that we cover, you know, extensively for years. You know, there's always like, well, you know, so-and-so's not happy. He may go in the portal. What do you think he's going to do? I don't know what he's going to do. You're the one that brought it up. You know, that's an important aspect of this too. You know, you're the one that brought it up. But you get a lot of that chatter when guys get a little bit disenfranchised. Like, you know, we were beginning to hear J.J. Harrell may go in the portal back in the spring. And sometimes you hear these things and it never comes to fruition. So we don't report all that stuff, right? You want to respect where the kids are. And a lot of these young kids, too, get a little bit out of sorts because they're used to being the guy. Now, all of a sudden, you're at the bottom of the totem pole. But Aiden Williams, and I'll be honest with you, if he was not from Mississippi and he wasn't a guy that we knew, you probably wouldn't be on him just based on production. In 2 years, he has 7 catches for 119 yards. And so if he was a guy from Utah – and you guys didn't have a working knowledge of who he was or where he was from and the career that he had at Ridgeland High School, you'd be like, I don't know about this, man. I don't know about this. And you know what? I wouldn't be able to argue against it. You know, that's just, you know, the reality of it. But played in 3 games in 2023, so he was able to redshirt that year. Did not play extensively that year. He played just the 3 games, but in all 3 games he played, and he did catch at least a pass, 1 catch against an SEC opponent, and that was in a 33-7 win against Vanderbilt. Had a big play against Mercer in that 73-7 blowout. But again, everybody thought, you know, hey, this is a big-bodied guy. He'll get it figured out. This year he played basically the first 2 weeks of the season and then not again. Played against Furman, had a couple of catches, played against Middle Tennessee, had a catch, and then you didn't see him again. And again, around November, early November, we started hearing he may be a guy going into the portal. I really thought because of his potential that Ole Miss would kind of run that off at the pass, but, you know, they've become very portal-reliant. And listen, that's one thing I'll say about Lane Kiffin. I think Lane's the kind of guy, too. It's like, you know what, if they want to get in the portal, just go let him go. You know, we're not going to go chase him. We can get that same guy in the portal. I think, too, from Mississippi State standpoint, before there was NIL, this would be a no-brainer, right? This is a kid from Ridgeland. This is a kid that you recruited extensively in high school. But we knew pretty early on that if he stayed and stayed, he was going to Ole Miss. I mean, that was widely reported. Of course, we had it over at Gene's page throughout his recruitment that we were going to be on the outside looking in at him. And ultimately, he does land at Ole Miss. But when I think about, number one, maybe he comes in here and catches 25, 30 balls for us. You know, maybe so. Maybe he becomes an interesting piece for us. And maybe he's a guy, too, that every time that you have a kid that you're recruiting from in-state that's choosing between state and Ole Miss, I have Aiden Williams host him. You know, that may be worth some of the NIL money right there. you know, just having a de facto recruiter that can tell those kids, hey, you don't want to go up there, and here's why. I was up there for 2 years, and I can tell you this is the place to be. Now, that you're going to hear that a lot from Mississippi State kids, but when you've got a kid like that, you know, that's got credibility in the room as a receiver that they grew up watching, but also, too, a guy that went up there and spent 2 years of his career and didn't see the field much. And you think about this, too. What if he goes up there to State and he has a big year? You know, what if he comes to State and ends up catching 25, 30 balls? You say, you know what? He was at Ole Miss and he couldn't play, and he comes here and we were able to get it out of him. You know, that becomes a recruiting narrative all of its own. And so that's an important thing. And at this point, I am leaning towards Mississippi State getting this thing done, leaning towards it, not ready to call it, not ready to put the crystal ball pick in, but I am leaning towards State getting this thing done. He is officially visiting East Carolina right now. He said, ECU, yeah. Well, here's why. John David Barber, is that his name, John David Barber or Baker? John David Baker. He was an offensive assistant at Ole Miss when Aiden first came up. And so I wouldn't call it a courtesy visit, but it is a relationship visit at the very least. And I'm sure that East Carolina is going to bring him in and say, hey, you come in here, we're going to target you 10 times a game. We want you to be wide receiver one, wide receiver two. And look at all those receivers Mississippi State's bringing in. Look at all those kids that left. There's a lot to negative recruit against Mississippi State when it comes to the wide receiver room because of the numbers. Not against the production. And this is a discussion that we had earlier today. Is like people are like, oh, you know, bump this and bump that, and bump's not getting it done. Guys, this time last year, we were ready to let Chad Bumpus ride on our shoulders down University Drive because of the great job he did in the portal. And I'm going to ask you this, and of course it's rhetorical because I can't hear you. What was our most productive personnel group last year on the field, on either side of the line of scrimmage? It's wide receivers. You say, well, you know, but, you know, Creed left. Yes, he did. He did. Trent Hudson left. Yes, he did. Hey, if those guys were not good enough to get on the field, they had to make a business decision themselves. You're like, but Steve, I like Creed. I like Creed too. But if Creed said, you know what, I'm not going to play here, so I'm going to take a redshirt year, not waste a year of eligibility, just kind of getting garbage reps, and I'm going to go. I don't fault him for that. I also don't fault Chad Bumpus for not playing him if he believed there were better players ahead of him. It's Chad's obligation to you and to me and to Mississippi State to put the best players on the field that can score touchdowns for Mississippi State. Now, you may disagree with who he plays, but you're not seeing him every day in practice. I love Bump. You know, loved that guy for a long time. When he was at Austin Peay and when he was at Utah, we would talk every year, every summer. He'd say, hey, tell me some kids in Mississippi that maybe State and Ole Miss aren't going to take that I can get on. Every year, I've maintained a relationship with him. So I'm not going to sit back and, you know, hey, have we had some bumps in the road in the portal this year? Yeah, absolutely, we have. But I'm the last thing that I'm going to worry about, as long as Jeff Lebby and Chad Bumpus are here, is getting receivers. That's the last thing I'm going to worry about. You're like, but Steve, you know, we lost Kevin Coleman. Guys, Kevin Coleman had 326 yards in 2023 at Louisville. He tripled his production at Mississippi State. That's got to do with his level of work and got to do with the offense that Jeff Lebby has instituted and the coaching that he got from Chad Bumpus. All of that works together. So I'm a firm believer that Lebby and Bump can do the same thing for other guys they did for Kevin Coleman. I'm not going to sit here and say that Kevin Coleman did all that all by himself. I'm also not going to sit here and say it's all about Chad Bumpus. It's not. Kevin Coleman had to do his part. And so that's important to understand. And one of the things that I can tell you too, and it's so interesting because it comes off like sour grapes. It really does. You know, we had some guys in that wide receiver room that were a little bit of a challenge. And we've seen some of those guys leave. And some were encouraged. And now you're bringing in some guys, too. And it appears, you know, after doing our due diligence, you know, we got some guys that are going to be good locker room guys and guys that are willing to work, team first guys, right? And so from a culture standpoint, you're going to have an improvement there. You know, that's one thing that I go back to. We talk about this, the great high school young freshman class last year, you know, and we had bunch of those guys get in trouble as soon as they got here. Nobody's got to corner the market on young kids making bad decisions. We're going to make that. It's going to happen at Ole Miss. Everywhere in the country, guys are getting away from home for the first time, don't have the same level of accountability, living off campus more times than not, you know, kind of come and go on as they please. Some guys are going to make some mistakes. I mean, goodness, I ended up in the RID program, right? And so it's important to understand that aspect of it. But you don't really know these guys until you get them in. And so when I think about a guy like Cam Thompson, I'm thinking, you know what? This is a guy that's got 3 years of college under his belt. This is a guy that's going to be a little more mature. And so it makes better sense to me. Take that kid. And so I'm replacing a guy that didn't have a ton of production with a guy that's older and mature that has had some FBS production. I look at Aiden Williams, right? Big body guy. A guy that went to Ole Miss, it didn't work out. And so this is a guy, too, that from my home state. And so if you turn this thing around with him, not only does it help you with Aiden Williams and people that know him, I think that becomes a success story that you can point to and say, hey, you know, Aiden Williams was a guy that, was kind of on the trash heap of the SEC, and he came here with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and we got him motivated, and we turned him around. You know, that's an important aspect of this. And some offensive line stuff out there, too. Still expecting to take a tackle. You know, we had a little bit of a fire drill over the weekend. A Colorado reporter put out that they had a center that was transferring to them from Louisiana Monroe that he was going to flip to Mississippi State and be with Phil Loadhole. We were able to kind of nip that in the bud pretty quickly. And he signed with UCF today. State was never really on him. It was just kind of some assumptions that were taken that he asked out of his financial aid agreement because Loadholt left, and they just kind of said, hey, well, he must be following Phil to Mississippi State. So we were able to kind of get that fire drill extinguished pretty quickly. But, so an offensive lineman, right? And I'll be honest with you, we need a third tackle. We do. I'm confident in what Luke Work's going to be. Albert Reese, of course, is a guy who can play guard for us. We're on Zach Chrysler, too. I wouldn't be shocked if we didn't take two offensive linemen, but I'm only expecting one. And then a couple more receivers, and then a corner. And then I think we're done. And it's so interesting. Again, I think back that we're going to sign about 15 out of the portal. I'd been told 20 all along, and now it may end up being 24. You're going to have almost as many transfers as you did signees when it's all said and done, right? It's important to understand. I mean, we talk about a roster makeover. Well, this is it. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse is the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Of this, I can personally attest because I've stayed there. Yeah. We had everybody come in for just kind of a family get-together for New Year's. You know, we didn't do the Christmas things. We said I wanted my grandgirls to have Santa Claus come to their house, so we waited and traded gifts at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse and just had a blast. If you're bringing a large group to town, or maybe you've thought about that and say, I don't know where we'd stay. Well, let me help you. Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Yeah, whether it be a family group, a friend group, a word group, or just a retreat to kind of get away with friends and family, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will pop up, and you can peruse all of the amenities available to you and your guest. And you're going to see some booking options. Now, you can book through Airbnb. You can book through VRBO. Completely up to you. But if you want to save some money, and I'm all about saving money, you can book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10 and get 10% off your stay. Just by listening to the show, you're saving some money at the elite venue in Starkville. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So easy to get to. Right there outside the Highlands, the old renovated clubhouse of the old country club. It's a fantastic facility, more than enough room for everybody to spread out, but also too to kind of get together and just have some good recreation time. It's not about the money you spend, it's the time you spend. It's a great investment in your family and making some memories together to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, now you may have heard Errol Thompson's coming home. It all happened pretty fast. It didn't take him long to accept the opportunity. Errol Thompson, it's basically an entry-level position. I don't want it to make it out to be more than it is. You know, Errol just kind of got into coaching, and we're bringing a guy back that loves Mississippi State. We're bringing a guy back that has credibility in the room, Guys, he received an all-SEC honor every year he played at State. Made the all-freshman team in the SEC, and then was either a preseason or postseason all-SEC selection every year when he was at Mississippi State. So he knows what it takes to compete in this league at a high level. And guys, you know, I used to shoot pictures, and I used to go out there and shoot pictures of the coin toss, and I can tell you, nobody talked more trash at coin tosses than Earl Thompson. Nobody. This is a guy that believed in his team. This is a guy that believed in Mississippi State, believed in his coaching staff. And I went to his announcement. You know, I think it's the last one I went to, you know, where I got committed at a little bit of a press conference over in Florence, Alabama. I got in a car and drove over there. We did a video interview with him, interviewed the family, the coach, everybody. And, it was so interesting. I remember when Alabama got involved in the beginning, you know, people were like, well, so Alabama. Well, they came to Mississippi State. Very, very excited to have him back. And basically, it's kind of a GA position, okay? I don't know if that's the actual name for it, but this is basically a chance to kind of reintroduce him into coaching on the college level from a different vantage point, right? He knows how to take coaching. He knows how he was coached. He understands the effort that it requires to play in this league. And so it's going to be an adjustment for him. But one of the things that I'm most excited about, I'm a firm believer in this. We need new blood, right? We do. We always need people that can come in here that's not going to accept the typical natural order of things. Well, Mississippi State's not supposed to beat LSU. You know, I don't want anybody like that. I don't want anybody from the cleaning crew to the coaching staff that thinks we should just be okay going to the Liberty Bowl. That's not at all what I aspire to be as a football program. And Errol Thompson did some big things at Mississippi State. And so I like having some Bulldogs in the building, some people that are beholden to the logo and to the institution and not just a paycheck. And that's not casting aspersions at anybody. But you need a good mix, right? You need people that understand what it's like to win here at a high level, and you need people to come in with their own fresh ideas. And I think you can have a balance. I don't think it's got to be a situation where we just kind of load up our staff with a bunch of former players. But I think you need some of those guys that understand, number one, what we're willing to expect and what we're not willing to accept. Those things are all important. And so I am overjoyed for Errol to be back. And, he's not going to be game planning. You know, he's not going to be out there, you know, calling plays. You know, again, this is an entry-level type position. But I think it's a good decision by Jeff Lebby. And, again, a guy that's just got so much credibility. He's got an impressive resume. Very, very impressive resume. You know, played a couple years professionally. You know, went with the Falcons for a while, made a practice squad, ended up playing in the XFL for a little while. He's played beyond college. But when I think about people that kind of typify the Mississippi State story, Errol Thompson does a good job with that. Errol is our guy, right? Without any question, he is our guy. And we need some of our guys in our building to go along with the guys that we've hired to help move this football program forward. So I'm thrilled. And I think what I think about too is like, he's not so far removed from being a college player that he can't relate to those guys. Now, of course, he didn't come up in the NIL era, but he is a guy that I think can relate to them and speak to them and kind of be, in many respects, not just a coach, but kind of a mentor. Maybe a little bit of the young uncle, the fun uncle, that can say, hey, I know what it's like to have to deal with all this stuff. Wasn't that long ago that I was wearing that same uniform, sitting in this same complex, on that same practice field. I understand. I get it. And so I think that his words will carry weight with that linebacker room. And when I begin to think about what we've done on defense, of course, you bring in Vincent Dancy to coach the edges and the outside backers. And now you've got Errol Thompson to come in here and just kind of help with the backers too. I think, number one, it takes some of the workload off Coleman Hutzler. And then you've got Paul Rhodes to kind of come in here and do some self-scouting to kind of break down some film and kind of look at our team's tendency to kind of help us with game planning. I think what we have done is kind of insulated Coleman Hutzler a little bit. A guy that's been beat up considerably since the day he took the job, But now you've kind of brought some people around him to make his job easier. That's good administration by Jeff Lebby. It's like, hey, we recognize a need. And, you know, nobody knows Coleman Hutzard the way Jeff Lebby does. We don't know Coleman that way. Matter of fact, we only got a chance to interview him one time. And so it's like Jeff recognizes, hey, we may need to do some creative things here on the staff to kind of make things a little bit easier. And so, again, you bring in a veteran guy like Paul Rhodes to kind of help on the game planning part of it, and you bring in a young guy like Errol Thompson, and then you bring in Vincent Dancy, a guy that can, you know, help out David Turner a little bit, but also, too, kind of carry some of the weight in that linebacker coaching room. And we've got to get better rushing the passer. I mean, guys, just 10 sacks last year, you know. I was looking at this, you know, Perkins from Ole Miss had more sacks than us. There were some players that had more sacks than our entire team. So I commend the changes that Jeff Lebby has made, that he recognized the need. A lot of people, well, great coaches are stubborn. You know, I think more importantly, there are guys that buy into their own vision. And I'm kind of like that in that respect, too. Like, I've got my own vision, and I'm willing to try other things and try other people. But at the end of the day, I got to be true to myself and my own vision. And I think when you know what you need to do, you're going to have some casualties along the way. And sometimes, you know, as a coach, sometimes you got to sit somebody on a bench. Sometimes you got to cut somebody. And that's true for coaches too. You know, I'm the big whistle, right? And so I've got to make the decisions that are best for Mississippi State football and what's best for me and my own family. And if you are not aligned with my vision, then you're going to have to either get online or I'm going to have to find somebody else. And so I think that is an important aspect of all of this, Lebby recognizing a need and then addressing the need. And I know that's what you guys wanted, right? A lot of you guys, of course, were out for blood. You just want to see people fired and held accountable. I'm a firm believer in accountability, but I think you can do some things to salvage an employee without having to fire them, because sometimes a firing is the most detrimental thing you can do to your team. You know, you fire a guy, well, now we got to bring somebody else in. They got to learn how this guy coaches, what he expects, what's he going to call in a situation. So continuity is a good thing. And so we're going to have some continuity, but you're going to introduce some other players and their voices in that room to make that vision a little maybe more directed, if that makes sense. And so, again, commend Jeff for the decisions that he's made and kind of move forward with this now. You know, and listen, we heard halfway through the season that Coleman Hutzard wasn't going anywhere. And then after we got shelled by Arkansas, an Arkansas offense, and it kind of began to sputter a little bit, I thought, well, I don't know how you can't bring him back after this. I mean, how do you do it? I mean, because, we're all reactive to the moment. And some of us handle that better than others. You know, like if I get frustrated, I like to call a friend. I don't just go get on Twitter and just have diarrhea of the keyboard like some other people do. And then next thing you know, you look stupid or you feel stupid. And maybe you feel better in the moment. And then that's one thing. So I'm not going to preach about this for long. Guys, when we have a player make a mistake, they don't need you to point it out to them. And I see some people on Twitter, you know, they'd be like, a guy drops a pass. Hey, just go get in the portal. You know, that's not helpful. You know, one of the things that I admire about the Arkansas Razorbacks, and LSU is like this too, even though LSU fans are maybe a little bit more vocal than Arkansas people. But one of the things that I respect about Arkansas fans is in good times and in bad times, you go out there and you say, hey, you know, you talk to some Arkansas fan, they'll tell you, look, man, I'm a Razorback and I absolutely love it. That's what I am. I'm a Razorback. They make no apologies for being Razorbacks. And I feel that way about our team. I'm a Mississippi State Bulldog, good, bad, or indifferent. I got some things that I'm not happy about either. I just try to be constructive in the way that I deliver that message. You know, we're going to call it for what it is, but it's so interesting. You know, some people think ranting and raving and being all emotional is calling it like it is. There are some people that's just kind of, that's their currency in life. It's how they vent their frustration. And you got to give people grace to do that. You know, we deal with that all the time on the message boards. We have some people, man, you go read a game thread, and I think they're going to be suicidal by the end of it. And then all of a sudden the game turns, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I was wrong. That person loves Mississippi State just as much as you and I do. They just don't handle adversity very well. I got one friend, I won't embarrass him. He's in my group text with me and Hey Dad, some others. And it's like if we give up a touchdown on the first drive, his day is ruined. Like, he is not going to be able to enjoy the game the rest of the game. It's like, oh, my gosh, we're just so unprepared. You know, we come back and win a game 56-7. And he's like, well, you know, we got to get off to a better start. You know, that's part of it. But I love this guy, and I know that he loves Mississippi State. And it's kind of a joke among the rest of us. It's like, yeah, so-and-so is going to, you know, if we can't get down in this ball game, he's not going to be able to make it. And it's like, how does he even enjoy it, right? You can't. And so, again, I hope that we can not live waiting for the other shoe to drop. But all that understood, there's a lot to feel good about if you're a Mississippi State Bulldog. And, again, the way the men's team is playing right now, and we have wanted this for so long, right? I remember the complaints about stands toward the end. Hey, we can't get out of the first weekend of the tournament. You know, we can't get over the hump with Rick. Rick gets out coached in the tournament. He's really good in the SEC. But then all of a sudden, when we have to play a team with comparable talent, we get out coached late in ball games. That was a complaint. And we kind of got what we wished for, right? We're like, well, we need something else, right? We need to make a change. And we did. And we wandered in the wilderness. And we go out and we hire Ben Howland. And we thought, hey, maybe this is it. You know, this is a guy that's been in 3 Final Fours. It didn't work out. And then we began to kind of doubt ourselves a little bit. You know, there's some of our fans, and I give them a lot of credit, there's some of our Mississippi State men's basketball fans that are bigger fans of men's basketball than any other sport. It's their thing. And they love it. Good, bad, or indifferent, kind of like those Razorbacks we're talking about. Those people are like, I'm a Mississippi State men's basketball fan, and I absolutely love it. And I'm going to be here win, lose, or draw. And I commend those folks. I do. And I'm probably happiest for them that we're playing so well because they've been there through the thick and thin. You know, they're the ones that would go to a ball game on a Tuesday night and it'd be 1,000 people there. And you're like, hey, where is everybody? Mississippi State's playing, right? You know, they were kind of, you know, allergic to this fair weather fan type mentality at times that we have with basketball. And then when the women were doing great and the men were doing okay, it's like, hey, why are the women outdrawing the men? Well, it's because the women were winning at an elite level. You know, and so Ben Howland never could quite get it done here. And so give John Cohen some credit. He went out and made a good hire. And he found a guy that kind of fit what Mississippi State's all about. And so I'm excited about men's basketball. You should be as well. You know, on the women's side, we'll see how things go. And, you know, guys, look, you know, we're back on the baseball diamond now, working through individual workouts. You know, we're going to have our first official practice here in about 3 weeks. And February 14th, Valentine's Day, come spend it with us. Bring your sweetie to Duty Noble Field. We're going to be playing baseball before you know it. I'm looking forward to it. But I'll tell you this, there have been years in the past that it just kind of felt like basketball was just something we did until baseball got here. It's like, okay, well, football's over. We get through the bowl game. Okay, it's been a great year. And then, you know, we got like 6 weeks before baseball season starts. And so we just kind of tuned in because Mississippi State was playing. I don't think you need to look at men's basketball like that right now. It's not a distraction. It should be appointment television, appointment viewing in person, if it can be. Because we've got a great team. And as I said in the earlier basketball segment, it is okay to believe. I don't think we should live our lives just thinking, okay, well, at some point, you know, the air is going to come out of the balloon. It's just no way to live. This is what we wanted for men's basketball, and we're getting it. Okay, so let's not ruin it. And listen, we're going to have a night that things aren't going to work. You know, we're going to have a night that, you know, hey, we're going to get beat by a better team. And that's going to happen. And there's going to maybe a night that we get beat by a comparable team or we don't shoot it well. That's going to happen. It doesn't mean that we're just going to, throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, that's the end of that. Let me just get ready for baseball. Guys, I look forward to college baseball season from the moment it ends. I can't wait for it to start again. I can't wait for fall to start. But I can tell you, as a baseball guy, I'm having a blast watching this men's basketball team. And again, I go back to that whole thing against Memphis, you know, and I think that's one of those turning points within the fan base. You know, it's like, yeah, we've been pretty good, and but we typically do pretty good at a non-conference. But then to go to Memphis and pull their pants down the way that we did, and then to have Ole Miss go in there the next weekend and get housed, I think it gave us some confidence. And again, it's okay to believe. Absolutely okay to believe. I think this team is capable of some really big things. And if we don't make the Sweet 16, I'm gonna be surprised and disappointed. I mean, I'm gonna be happy to be back in the tournament, but I'm not gonna be satisfied just being back in the tournament. You know, I think this team is capable of hanging a banner, a significant banner. It's been a long time since we've really done that. You know, 2004, we won the SEC championship, and we get upset there in the second round. But the reality of that is that, you know what, it was still a successful season. We just didn't play as long as we should have. I think this is a different scenario. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can order copies of The Dude. All my sports titles are there, in addition to When the Bottom Falls, and you can kind of complete your collection. We'll have an announcement soon. I can't put a time frame on it, but soon. We'll have an announcement soon about what I'm going to work on next. I'm just not quite ready to get started, but once I commit to it and announce it, I'll get started. You know, I'm just one of those kinds of people, like once I put it into out there publicly, that's basically, you know, kind of crossing the Rubicon, right? There's no turning back at that point for me. You know, once I start a project, I finish those projects. And so something special you're working on. And we'll have that for you soon. And please come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. That's 662-268-7601. It's been very, very busy. A lot of people bought gift cards and we're selling a lot of memberships. And come float your troubles away. If you're a person that struggles with anxiety or chronic pain, we may be able to help you. And even if you don't have those afflictions, maybe you just want a break, come float. You know, you'll get some peace and quiet. I mean, how many times in your life do you get that? I tell this to people all the time. How many times we say, well, I'm going to take some me time. We go lay in our bed. We get on our phones. We got the TV on. And we're still overstimulated, even in our times of rest. And so we're not truly resting. We're not letting our mind rest. When you float in a sensory-free environment, you're letting your mind rest. It's been one of the best things I've ever done for my own anxiety. And I haven't been able to float here as of late because I had a tattoo healing, but I will get in there this week, and I'm eager to do that. So you should come join us too. And you dial that number, 662-268-7601, speak directly to my wife. And I think you'll find out too, she's a rock star as well. Hey, come join us over at jeanspage.com. All the latest and greatest information about Mississippi State Athletics. Nobody covers the Bulldogs like we do. We take it as a passion. It's not just a job for us. It's what we love to do. And I think that shows every single day in the content that we provide at jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. I'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll get you an earlier show that day. Hopefully, it's a plan anyway. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.